Thankful for another time for us to meet together and draw our minds in from the cares of life, the busyness of life, to hear from the word of the Lord. Tonight is going to be an extension of this morning's service. So for those of you that were not here, we may give a little brief review. It's Ezekiel, the fourth chapter, and we looked at 4 through 7 and 12, 13 and 15 and 16 and 23. So we just basically condensed it for the sake of time. And it said, "He brought me before the house, and I looked, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord, and I fell upon my face." We spoke a little bit about the glory of the Lord filling the house or the church of God. And then verse 5, and it said, "Then the Lord said unto me, Son of man, mark well and behold with thine eyes and hear with thine ears all that I say unto thee concerning all of the ordinances of the house of the Lord and all of the laws thereof. 6 and 7, thou shalt say to the house, Thus saith the Lord God, ye have brought into my sanctuary strangers, uncircumcised in heart, to pollute even my house." This is where the Lord is beginning to open up to the children of Israel their error and their fault, their sin, where they have failed. They allowed strangers, those that didn't know the vocabulary, those that didn't know the ordinances, those that didn't know the laws, weren't familiar with them, couldn't identify them or describe them to the people. And so he's beginning to, and it's the same with us. We don't want strangers standing behind a desk and trying to teach the people of God. I made a statement that the saints of God, whether it's in a local congregation or whether it's at a camp meeting, we have a right to demand, if you will, those that stand before us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be living a godly life and a holy life. We have that right. We have that privilege. I can go a little step farther. I believe that all who even stand before the people, they should be an example of holiness, because that was the law. That is the law of the house. And it goes on and it says in verse 12, "Because they ministered before their idols and caused the house to fall, that therefore have I lifted up my hand against them." Now we're beginning to see judgment. Judgment is coming on something where they did not follow the ordinances. They did not hold to all of the fashion and the form and the functions. And verse 13, "They shall not come near me to do the office of a priest." But verse 15 goes back and it says, "But the priest that kept the charge of my sanctuary, they shall come near my table to minister unto me, and they shall keep my charge. And they shall teach my people." And this was one of our focus scriptures this morning, was that those that are keeping the charge, those that can minister before the Lord, they have an obligation, a duty, a responsibility, and a charge that they teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and that they cause them to discern between the clean and the unclean. This word discern, I really didn't speak on it too much this morning, but we all need a spirit of discernment. That is very important in the house of God, that we have the Spirit of God so alive within us that through the Spirit of God, we can discern if there is something wrong. Maybe we won't stand up and say, "Something's wrong here," but it will be our protection to go away and say, "I didn't swallow all of that, see? So the discernment of the Lord is very important to his people. And that was what the priests were charged to do, was to teach the people to discern between clean and unclean, or holy and profane. And then verse 24, it said, "And they shall judge according to my judgments, and shall keep my laws and statutes in all my assemblies." And we spoke about that the Lord has the same standard. He has the same pattern. He has the same fashion and form and ordinances and laws and precepts in every congregation of the saints. There is a scripture that came to my mind this afternoon of they all speak the same things. That's the design and pattern of the Lord, is that all of the churches of God's, all of the assemblies of the Lord would be speaking the same things. We went from there to Amos 7 and 7 and 8. We won't read that. We will just speak about it. The Lord is standing on a wall with a plumb line, and he says that he will not pass that way again. A plumb line is set eternally for the church of God right now, and we come to the plumb line. The plumb line does not come to us. And then we had a scripture in Isaiah 5 and 20, and it speaks of a woe to those that call good evil and evil good, and darkness light and light darkness, and bitter sweet and sweet bitter. We only read two more scriptures for the sake of time. After that, we didn't identify it with this, but we believe that this is the distress of our times today, because we're in a world where there are many forms of religion. And we read the scripture about the seven women that would take hold of a man and say, "I'll eat my own bread, I'll wear my own clothes, I just simply want to be called by your name and to take away the reproach." So those are the scriptures that we basically used this morning. And so now we want to go on to the next part of the message tonight. Isaiah 2 and 2. I might mention this also, that Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, those three books specifically are full of instructions and judgments and to the children of Israel. There were a lot of judgments that were pronounced on the children of Israel for their disobedience. And I believe that the Lord wants the people of God today to hear judgments, hear messages concerning judgment. God is a God of, the scripture says, behold the goodness and the severity of God. We do believe that God is a good God. He is a loving God. He is love. And yet there is a side of God that we must not ignore. We must always remember that he does have a side of judgment. He says in one place, speaks over in the New Testament concerning correction, that he would correct us as a child, as a father would correct a child. If you and I are never corrected, that means we are not his children. And it is important for us to be able to have an attitude of heart to go before the Lord and say, "Lord, correct me. Correct me when I have done wrong. Help me to see myself when I have not done exactly according to your laws and your precepts." So in this particular passage, Isaiah, the second chapter, we'll look at verses 2 and 3. It's a little bit more concerning the house of the Lord. Remember, the beginning passage was shew the house, or describe, explain, acquaint. Those are all words that could be inserted in there for shew the house to the house. Explain these things. So this one says, and it came to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. Verse 3 says, many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of God. And for what reason? Right now we're dealing with learning all of these things about the house of the Lord. We're to describe them, the pattern, the form and the fashion, all of those things. And then, but see, they're saying, now let's go to the house of the Lord, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion, or we could say out of the church of God, shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord. If we ever come to a place that we are not preaching the word of the Lord, that we're not presenting to this generation and the next generation what the law of the Lord is, what the commandments are, what the standards are, the standards of holiness must always be supreme and must be the thrust of our purpose to teach holiness to the next generation. Then I have Isaiah 28, and we have several verses in that particular passage. Chapter 28, we're going to look at 9 and 10, and then 13 and 17. Verse 9 says, whom shall he teach knowledge? I want to go back and say it again, that we are a people that are unique in our vocabulary. We are a people that are unique in that the light of God has shone upon our path. I spoke about my nieces and my nephews, and they were not taught this way. They were not raised this way. But they're looking at something in our life, and it attracts them. And yet they don't understand our vocabulary, our speech. They don't understand all that I understand. They don't have that kind of light. And yet there is something there that is going to desire to know about it. So it's going to take the Spirit of the Lord to enlighten them. And it says, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Oh, the doctrine of the Word of God, the doctrine of the Church of God. It is very important. That's what we're talking about when we say, show the house to the house. Let them understand this is doctrine. This is the Word of God. This isn't, we haven't written this up. We haven't made all of these laws. And it says, them, then it answers it. It'll be those that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For now this is how doctrine is taught. Children that are taught about the Lord, about God, from the time they are very young, they are not given doctrine that they cannot understand. But they are given something as a little child. All of us were. Simple things. The first verse, God is love. They can understand love because they want the love of their parents. So this is how it is taught, how doctrine is taught. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. It repeats it. Line upon line. Line upon line. It repeats it. And then here a little and there a little. The Lord has led his people. He has led you. He's led me gently. He's a shepherd. And he doesn't try to stuff it down our throats. He opens our eyes little by little. It's a wonderful, wonderful way that the Lord has been a father to his children.
And it repeats it then. Let's see, verse 13. And the word of the Lord was unto them. This is what the word of the Lord became. Precept. What are the precepts? Let's go over the precepts again. Precepts are laws. And laws are rules concerning conduct, actions, standards, and morals. So here we're understanding the precept upon precept. Precept. It's just one line at a time. See? And the Lord, that's how he leads the church of God. And young people, that's how he's going to lead you. He's going to teach each one of us a little at a time. And as we begin to digest that part in our life, and we begin to understand it and apply it in our life, then he'll say, okay, come on up a little bit higher. I've got something else I want to show you. And it will build on each other. It will not be jumping up here. Young people, the Lord never leads you to jump up as high as somebody that's been saved 50 years. He wants you to grow like a tree that is planted, and the scripture says, by a river. He wants every one of us to have our own tree. And when we are, when that tree is very small, what do we do to it? We stake it. We make it where the wind is not going to bow it over, because we're waiting for that trunk to become very strong. And it begins to get the strength. The roots are going down. The branches are growing upward. And in time, it's just like these big trees out here. One of those trees, they think, is the mother tree of all of these others. They think that tree is over 100 years old. Well, there was one day that it was a tiny seedling. And that's how the Lord wants to work with each one of us. And so he says here, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they... Now listen to this last part, because it's almost confusing. I had to search it out. Why does it say it this way? And this is what it says. That they may go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. What does that mean? That means that there are people that will not receive it. And when they have rejected it, they will lose their way. They will fall backward. They will be broken. They will be snared and taken. When you and I are presented with the wonderful Word of God, let us not reject it. I remember Sister Souter used to tell me, she told all of us, she said, if you don't understand something about the Word of the Lord, don't reject it. Don't turn your back on it. Don't just say, well, I don't understand it. The thing that you have to do then is start seeking the Lord. Lord, open my understanding. Open my eyes. Help me to understand this. And the Lord will do that. It will become a line upon line, precept upon precept. Now we're going to go down to verse 17. And it changes just a little bit here. And this is the direction we want to go now. It speaks about judgment. Judgment will I lay to the line. He's talked about precepts and lines and building on it. And now he's going to talk about the judgment that is laid to the line. And righteousness to what? The plummet. Goes back to that plumb line that was on that wall. That was the original design pattern that God put in his word way back in the Old Testament, giving instructions what he wants his body, his church, his people to follow. Yes, it's built on holiness, but it is righteousness is laid also to the plumb line. And then look at the last part here. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies. What does that mean? What does that mean? We understand what hail can do, literal hail. But you know, the Lord doesn't want you and me to hide under a lie, or to have a lie in our life, or to believe a lie about ourselves, or to believe a lie about the enemy. He is a liar. He is the father of lies. And we do not want any part of our very soul, our mind, our understanding to be darkened with a lie. We don't want to hide behind hypocrisy. We don't want to be saying we're something and really being something else. God knows what we are. He will bring judgment upon that, whoever we are, whether we're out there in sin or whether we're sitting among the camp of the saints and not living the life, and God knows it. And He's going to send something to expose that lie in our life. And it's for our benefit. It's His love to us if He sends the hailstones. And all of a sudden we may be exposed. That's the goodness of the Lord. What does the scripture say? The goodness of the Lord leadeth men to repentance. Have you ever felt the goodness of the Lord in your own life along the way? You've had line upon line, precept upon. You've come a long way. You've grown. And after a while, then maybe something happens in your life. I want to tell you, the Lord did that for me just last fall. And I testified to it. I testified to it openly. Why? When we expose those things, that's where our victory is. We don't hide those things. And, I'm ashamed for anybody to know that I had this battle with jealousy. See? So the Lord, He's exposing it. He sent something to make me face myself. And then, that's when I got the help. I could go back and take up and start building line upon line, precept upon precept, but I had to get that out of the way. So this is how the Lord is going to work with each one of us. And it also says the waters shall overflow what? The hiding place. I want to tell you something that the devil wants in our lives more than anything else is to cover things in our life and have everybody else think, oh, they are doing so good. And yet the devil knows it and God knows it. And the scripture, what does the scripture say? If we cover those things, we will not prosper. I mean, God just can't bless it. But He wants to bless our lives, even in judgment. Let us not fear the judgments of the Lord. Let us not draw back from it. Let us have that ear that will hear, that eye that will see. Say, Lord, open my eyes to see myself. I'll tell you, the Lord is a faithful God. He will bless us even in judgment. Okay, 2 Chronicles now is the next. We have a lot of Old Testament scriptures. 2 Chronicles 36, and we're going to look at 15 and 16. Now we're going a little into a different direction. No, we're going to be staying about the judgment. 36. We're going to start with verse 14. It says, all the chief of the priest and the people transgressed. We'll just read it all. Very much after the abominations of the heathen. Did you know that you and I can be influenced by, and I'm going to say, the heathen around us? We're living in a polluted world. We're living in an ungodly world. And it's going to take much for you and me to maintain holiness in our life in the midst of this dark and perverse generation. And so he's talking to priests and people that had been affected by the heathen and polluted the house of the Lord. See, when you and I, if we are affected by the ways of the world or the influence of the world or anything that the enemy would try to plant in our mind or affect us, even as I spoke about jealousy, that's something that can be hid. There are a number of things that can be hid in a person's life. You know not to act jealous, but if you have the feeling in your heart, you got to do something about it. You can't let it take root. What does the scripture say? It would become bitter, and it would become a root of bitterness. And who's going to be affected then? Many will be defiled. So now we have this. They've polluted the house of the Lord. Did you know when we live under and below the standard of holiness and present ourselves otherwise, that it can pollute the services? And sometimes the Lord allows the discernment in somebody else. They may not come and straighten you out. That's not our job. It's the job of the Holy Spirit. But those kind of things can pollute our service. They'll hinder the blessing of the Lord in our services. Look at verse 15. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his what? Messengers. Rising up betimes. Betimes means early. Rising up early and sending. Because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. That's what the Lord is doing right now to this generation, to this body of people. We come together, we meet together on Sunday morning and our second service on Sunday. We come together on Wednesday, we go to revivals. We're not going there to be entertained. We're not coming here just for entertainment. Sometimes we may be very tired. We may feel like it'd be better to stay at home. But we press against those things and we come to the services because, why? We know that we will get something for our spiritual life. So the Lord has sent his messengers to appeal to the people when there's pollution in their lives. But look at verse 16. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words. They wouldn't receive it. And it said, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. That's quite serious, isn't it? Oh, we want to have always a tenderness in our hearts toward the Spirit of God to hear his word and to not allow the enemy to snatch that thing from us, such as in the seed that fell by the wayside. We want to be there with our cup open and say, Lord, fill up my cup. Fill it up. So now we're going to go back to Isaiah, the 24th chapter. And again, I hope that you can be patient with all of the word of the Lord that is being read tonight. You know what? If we didn't give the word of the Lord with, what good would it do? If I stood up here and told a little joke every once in a while or told something funny and everybody laughed and could you go home with anything? But the word of the Lord can find its lodging in our hearts and our minds. And it's important that we have it read in our presence. So it's Isaiah 24. We're going to look at 4 and 5 and 20 and 21. 4 says, the word, part of it says, the world languished and fadeth away. That's all I want out of that particular verse. I want us to understand now the wrath of God and what happens when his judgments begin to be performed. This is what happens. It says, the world languisheth and fadeth away. Look at verse 5. The earth also is defiled because they have transgressed what? My laws. And changed the ordinances. I want to tell you something. It doesn't take any of us very long to understand what's happening in the sectarian world. They have transgressed laws of God, ignored them. They have ignored the message of the Lord, even from the Word of God, and they have changed the ordinances. Now, what is the ordinances? Let's look at that word again. Ordinances, governing procedures, precepts and laws, rules concerning conduct, actions, standards and morals. It's all of that. And so they've changed it. They've changed the ordinances and broken the everlasting covenant. Now let's go down to verse 20. And it describes how the world is when they have departed from holiness. It says, the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard and shall be removed. And the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it. And it shall fall and not rise again. And it shall come to pass, verse 21, in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones and the kings of the earth upon the earth. Why is the Lord here bringing out now leaders? Because leaders have an impact on all of our lives across our nation. Our presidents have an impact. The scripture plainly tells us if there is a holy man or a good man or a righteous man in leadership, the people are blessed. But if there is an ungodly man, a wicked man in power, the people are not blessed. They are affected. There's been things that has happened in our presidents that has had such an impact on our young people today. It happened years ago when they were young. Now they are adults, and that spirit has permeated our nation. And so the judgment is also going to come down to the leaders of our land. And I want to say that it will come to the leaders of the Church of God if they are polluted as well. It will not, they don't have a way of escape if they also are polluted. Okay, let's go to 2 Kings, the 22nd chapter, verse 13. And this one says, inquire of the Lord. Inquire for the people and for all. What's this saying? You and I need to ask of the Lord of His laws, His ordinances, His pattern. Lord, what is it? Show it to me. Reveal this to me. Reveal it to the people. We need to pray for the Church of God. We need to pray for our congregation. We need to pray for our families that may be blind. It says, inquire of the Lord for the people and for all concerning the words of this book right here. We are so privileged to be able to have the word of the Lord, so open, so plain, that we can open it and read it anytime we want to. It says, for great, now this is why, great is the wrath of the Lord, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book. If the fathers are not hearkening, it's going to move right on down to the children. It will be apparent. It will be the influence, the lack of influence, or the influence that is negative will have an impact on the children. Now turn to Psalms 9 and we'll read verses 7 through 10. Verse 7 says, the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared His throne for what? Judgment. Judgment is very important. And He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. I want to tell you, God does not make a mistake in judgment. He is always righteous in His judgment. Thank the Lord. And it goes on and it says, he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. And they that know thy name shall put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Now, there is a scripture, just a little portion of a verse, and we won't take the time to connect it with the setting right then. But it was Abraham that said this. And he said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He was referring to the righteous being destroyed with the wicked in Sodom and Gomorrah. But I want to tell you, you can stand on that scripture. God will do right in his judgment of the wicked and the righteous. He will do right when he judges the sinner. He will do right when he judges the unbeliever or the fearful or the slothful or the neglecter or the backslider. I just have several that came to my mind. The lukewarm. He will do right. He will not judge us unrighteously. He is fair. He judges all the secrets of sin. He judges the immoral people too that have hidden things in their life. Okay, a song that came to me was Weighed in the Balance and Found Wanting. When we're judged, I believe that he will judge us fair. It says we are weighed by the word. We're not weighed by anyone's opinion. We're weighed by the word of God. Thank the Lord. And that is fair. Now let's talk just a little bit about the camp of the saints. Over in Revelations, the 20th chapter, it speaks about the camp of the saints being compassed about. And what was the judgment next? Fire. Fire came down out of heaven and consumed them that were compassing, or we could even say that they were persecuting the saints of God. This was right down at the end of time, you might say. It could even be in this age. We need to pray for the Lord to allow us to live a quiet and a peaceful life. We trust and hope that he will, but there are places that they are in great distress of persecution. And maybe that is part of the encompassing about. But I want to talk to us in closing this evening about the church of God in the last days. We have talked about the house being shown to the house, the laws, the precepts, the ordinances, the pattern, all of those kind of things, the ordinances of the ministers and how particular that the Lord is that his ministers even today be living a holy life. And we have talked a little bit about the judgments of God, not only on the righteous, but on the wicked. And now I want to focus our mind and our attention a little bit on the church of God in the last days. And I do this to help us to not be discouraged when we look around and we see so few. The scriptures that I'm going to give is not for the purpose of justifying the fact that there is only a few. It's not for that reason. But I believe that this is where we're living. So Zechariah, the 13th chapter, and we're just going to look at 8 and 9. And it says this. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord. The Lord is the one that has said this. Two parts therein shall be cut off and die. But the third part, or the third, shall be left therein, Now, wouldn't you say that that is a small portion of the whole? That originally there were three parts. We could have a circle on the board up here and just have it divided into three parts like a pie, and we would say it was the whole. But if you take away two parts and only one third is left, that's a very small part. And then it says what he's going to do with this third part. It's going to be brought through the fire, and they will be refined as silver, and he will try them as gold, and they shall call on my name. I want to tell you, we need to call on the name of the Lord in these days. Yes. Don't hesitate. Don't draw back. Don't allow the busyness of your life to take away your prayer life. Even if you are praying as you do your work, I believe God will still hear us. I feel a burden sometimes just to pray, even as I go about my work. There's many things to pray about in this age and in this time. So it says that they will call on the Lord on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, and this is a wonderful thing, if the Lord will claim you and me as his people. The scripture says this is the seal of the Lord, that he knoweth everyone that belongs to him. He knows if we belong to him. And he said that it is my people, and we or they will say, the Lord is my God. I like that verse. I want to go now to Isaiah, the 17th chapter. And I think that this one is very important for us to consider here tonight, to not allow the enemy to hinder us. I'm going to read verses 4 through 9, I believe. And again, it says, in that day shall come to pass, it shall come to pass that the glory of Jacob shall be made thin. What does that mean? It says that the fatness shall wax lean. Something begins to happen when you and I come down, when the people of God begin to come down to the close of this age. Something is happening. Now, Jesus even said, when I return, will I find faith? He didn't say he would not find it, but he said faith could be low. And that's why we need to, he said in another place, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. So now here's a picture that I believe could be applied to our time. And then verse 5 says, it shall be as when the harvestman gathered the corn and reapeth the ears with his arm. And it shall be as he that gathereth ears in the valley of Rephaim. And I looked that up, and that Rephaim was an ancient race of people that was reduced to a remnant. He first likens it to gathering corn, and I've just got abundance. And then it comes down to where I'm gathering corn, and it's not as abundant. That's what we need to not be discouraged when we don't see awakening. There was a great awakening at one time where there were thousands of people getting saved. And now we're looking at a different time. And then it says, yet gleaning grapes shall be left in it as the shaking of the olive tree, two or three berries in the top of the uppermost bough, four or five in the outmost fruitful branches thereof, saith the Lord. The Lord is saying this. At that day shall a man look to his Maker, and his eyes shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel. And look at verse 8. He shall not look to the altars. Do you think that has some meaning for us? You know, I've lived long enough to remember some pretty full houses. I remember when this house right here was pretty full. I've been in other places. I remember when I was a little girl in the old chapel of Guthrie, and I was sitting up. You remember how the behind the podium, and they'd raise that up, and there'd be the overflow sitting sometimes up there, a lot of times as young people. But I was just a little girl. I guess I'll tell this whole story. The chapel was literally full. Hardly able to walk down the aisle and standing room. That's how it was. And so, you know, I've told you all how that when I was a little girl, I listened to the preached word, and I realized my family wasn't living like that. And so here I come down out of this pulpit. It was altar call. And I go to Sister Essie Sister Elsie Wilson. Now, she didn't know me from anybody because I was just a little girl. And I got her by the hand and I said, "Would you come and talk to my parents for them to get saved?" "Well, honey, who are your parents?" I said, "I'll take you to them." And you know, when she saw my parents, you know, she thought my parents were okay, and they all laughed. You know, that's sad, isn't it? But I'm telling you that the buildings were full of people, and the Spirit of the Lord, there was many people at the altar many times. You hear us talk about camp meetings now, and what do we say? There was a breakthrough. You ever heard that term? That's part of our vocabulary. That means that finally the Spirit of the Lord was able to reach the souls and there was a breakdown. See? Well, we mustn't look to the altars and judge whether the Lord is in our midst or not. Have we had revivals here where nobody went to the altar? We have. But do we judge the meeting as, well, it wasn't any good because nobody went to the altar? The scripture here, and it says the Lord said this, we're not to look and judge it by the altars. So I want us to take that home with us. Let me see if I need to read any farther now. Verse 9 says, "In that day shall his strong cities be as a forsaken bough and an uppermost branch, which they left, and there shall be desolation." Are you going to be discouraged if there's no cattle in the stall and no food in the fields? It talks about that over in Malachi. Are you going to be turned back if it just becomes a handful? We mustn't be. We must keep our eye on the goal. Okay, let's go then next to Isaiah 24. Just a couple of scriptures there. Isaiah 24, 13 through 15. And this is what it says. It repeats what we said in the other chapter. "There shall be as the shaking of an olive tree and as the gleaning grapes when the vintage is done." You know, I would say that what they mean by vintage is that they had a great abundance of reaping and you're down to the end of it. And you're just getting the last few off of the vine. And this is what I want us to get a hold of. "And they shall lift up their voice and they shall sing for the majesty of the Lord and they shall cry aloud." Do we need some encouragement to sing a little bit louder? Or to say praise the Lord or amen? We need to exercise and encourage ourselves. And I believe the Lord would be pleased if we begin to say, praise the Lord. Oh, you say, but when I say it, everybody looks at me. I remember that too. I remember when I made up my mind that I was going to be one that would praise the Lord. And the first few times, I just wanted to duck. And you'll feel that way too. But press beyond those feelings. The Lord is worthy of our praise. We need to say, praise the Lord. You know, it would be such a blessing to hear a few more amens. Oh, I don't want to put anyone on the spot. But I want to challenge us. You listen to some of the old messages, like at a camp meeting. Oh, the background noise is precious. There's many that are saying, amen, praise the Lord, preach it, brother. You know what that does? That hinders Satan's work. And we're in the last days. And I think that we need to exercise. Just to press beyond the feelings. Okay? So he says, I want you to sing. Lift up your voice and sing for the majesty of the Lord. And then look at verse 15. Wherefore, glorify ye the Lord in the fires. We're in the fire. We're being tested. He said he would not have a people that was not tried, tested, and proven. I've been really thinking about this word proven. How he wants to prove us. But he wants us to prove him. He's inviting us. He says, prove me now. See if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Just prove me. But he wants to turn around and prove us. And he says now, glorify the Lord in the fires. When Lenita's hurting, it's a little bit hard to say praise the Lord while she's hurting. Or thank the Lord. But do you know, every time the Lord would give, even before he would give her any kind of relief at all, we were saying, thank the Lord. He wants us to thank him in the fires. Okay, now let's go to the last verse. It's also Isaiah 54. And we're going to look for 4 through 8. And it says, fear not. For thou shalt not be ashamed. Do we have a tendency to maybe feel just...
Is that Isaiah 54?
Isaiah 54. Wait a minute, let me see. Verse 4. 54, starting at 4. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded... For thou shalt not be put to shame. God wants his people to not be ashamed. The world would like for us to feel shame. Shame for the way that we dress. Shame for the way that we hold to the standard. Shame for the way that... There's nothing wrong with going there. And we don't go there. And then they make you feel a little ashamed. But the word of the Lord says, you're not going to be confounded and you're not going to be put to shame. Verse 5, for the Maker is thine husband, and the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, and the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. Verse 6. And the Lord shall call thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith the Lord. I want to tell you that in a lot of ways, the church of God is like that verse right there. Like a woman that's forsaken. Where is your God? Why doesn't God heal like he did in the past? Do we have answers? We may not ever have an answer. But if I feel that he is my maker, he is my husband, and he's not going to leave me alone, I don't have to be ashamed. He is my redeemer. He's the Holy One of Israel. He is the God of the whole earth. And though I feel forsaken, by faith I know he's there. Though I be grieved in spirit, verse 6, and a wife of youth, verse 7, for a small moment have I forsaken thee. Do you ever feel forsaken? Did Job feel forsaken? He didn't know where God was. He didn't feel him. He didn't hear his voice. What are you going to do when you feel that way? Turn and run? No, we're going to stay right there and wait. He says, wait on the Lord. He will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. There is a lot of waiting that you and I must do on the Lord. And then it says, the verse 8. I'll finish verse 7. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies have I gathered thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. Now go to verse 1. We'll finish with verse 1. Sing, O barren. You haven't had any children. Oh, we'd love children. We'd love for this whole chapel to be full of new converts, wouldn't we? But the word of the Lord says for us to sing in spite of it. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. That's where we are. Let us not be discouraged. Let us hold to all that the Church of God stands for. Let us show the house to the house. Pray for me.